This afternoon, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. I'm going to be reading to you from verse 7 to verse 16. We want to think together about how God provided for Elijah there in the wilderness. Very interestingly, last time we thought together about how the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the afternoon. That must have been quite the amazing thing. Now we're going to see the Lord minister to Elijah through a widow mother. This being Mother's Day, it'll be good for us to see how the Lord provided for a widow mother and her son in those days. Let's bow together for prayer before I begin to speak to you. Lord, thank you so much that we can be here in the house of you, our God, and worship you in the beauty of holiness, knowing that this is what we are created for, to worship you and to learn of you and to be taught of you and led in, by you and into all the truth. We ask that this afternoon that we would truly appreciate this time together, that our hearts being knit together in love for one another and for you, that we would truly benefit from this preaching time, from this time of relating your word and receiving it. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint me with the power of your Spirit so that I will have a lively heart and words for your people, and that they would be able to truly receive the word with gladness here this afternoon and rejoice in it. We pray and ask these things in your blessed name, Lord Jesus. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Well, this was about a year after Elijah went into hiding by the brook Kereth, that the brook dried up. In the Hebrew, this phrase, "after a while," is literally translated "at the end of days." And that phrase is often used to refer to a year's period of time. So says Bishop Patrick in his commentary. And what we want to think about at this time is the way that God provides for his people. And we have seen that God provided for Elijah during his time of hiding at the brook Kereth. And the brook supplied his need for water. And then God also amazingly brought these ravens morning and evening to provide food for him. God was protecting Elijah from being harmed from King Ahab. Now, as we think together about these verses, I want to show you the glory of God's plans to provide for the needs of His people. And we're going to see that God is not limited in the use of means. He can provide for Elijah in Zarephath, just as well as in Kereth. And in the process, He'll show forth the glory of His provision for this poor widow as well. And so we want to consider together first the glory of His provision in electing love and grace. And second, the glory of His providing for our greatest needs in relation to the exercise of our faith. And third, the glory of His provision never running out. First of all, the glory of God's provision in His electing love and grace, verses 7 to 9. Now we find here that after a while it says the brook dried up, which had been supplying Elijah's needs. It dried up because there had been no rain in the land. It will be good for us to remember that God ordains all things after the counsel of His own will. If God says that it's not going to rain for this many days, or as Elijah said, according to my word, it won't rain for these days, it's not going to rain. If He says it will be for some years, then God will uphold His prophet and all the people that belong to Him, all of His chosen people during that time. No rain meant no water to feed the brooks and the streams. So when God withholds, then these things dry up. We've not often seen that in our own lifetime here in Tama, Toledo, or in other places where we've lived. But sometimes the Lord does bring drought. It is an awful thing indeed. We don't know drought like this lady and her son knew it. We don't know drought like Elijah and the people of Israel did at that day. They were going to know drought for 3.5 long years. And I want you to turn with me over to Psalm 65. And I'm going to read for you verses 1 to 10. Psalm 65, 1 to 10. It says here, praise is waiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by His strength, being clothed with power, you who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth, it says here. So I want you to notice the theme of the Lord's provision in these verses. God provides not only for the needs of His people, but He provides for the needs of all flesh. Notice it says here, to you all flesh will come. Well, why do they come? Because God is a God who hears prayer, it says in verse 2. And since God alone can provide for the needs of all mankind, then all mankind ought to seek Him. That's the implication of what we're reading about here. We're told that all flesh will come. And by that it means not flesh in a general sense, but also the Gentiles. Not just the Jews, who were the psalm was being written to and for, but also in New Testament times like we're in, to the Gentiles. It's a good thing to think about, isn't it? God's plans and purposes, God's provision in terms of his election. The commentator John Gill says, this may be considered as a prophecy, Psalm 65, of the calling of the Gentiles and of their calling upon God through Christ and their coming to God in his house, which was to be and is a house of prayer to all people, Isaiah 56, 7, end of quote. So here in our text, we find that God had commanded a widow, a Sidonian woman, to provide for him there. And she was a person, I'm trying to bring to your attention, who was chosen of God. Now I'm going to unfold this truth, and I hope that you'll see it very clearly for yourself. In verse 4 of Psalm 65, we find that God has made provision in his eternal decrees for people to come to him, for people to approach him. For in verse 5, it says that he is the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far off seas. In verse 4, it says, blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to approach to you, that he may dwell in your courts. So we should understand from this that even though this woman was outside of the old covenant people of God in Israel, that God still chose her. I'm talking about this widow that was ministering to Elijah. God chose her not only to supply Elijah's need, but he chose her to eternal life. And as such, she was under his gracious care. I'm talking about it. She was under God's gracious care. A person chosen of God. Verse 4 of Psalm 65 here says, iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Now, for this particular woman of Sidon, God had provided atonement. An atonement is a covering for your sins, a covering that is purchased by blood. In Jesus Christ, atonement is provided for all kinds of people, Jews and Gentiles, but they're all people of his choosing, each and every one of them. They come from all different walks of life, all the different tribes and tongues and people and languages of the world. But God has a choice in the matter. God chooses. And in Jesus Christ, atonement is provided for all these kinds of people and all those of his choice. And he'll always provide, by the way, everything needed for the redemption of those people. That is, buying them back out of their slavery to sin and making provision for the forgiveness of their sins. Now, this is pictured so very well in Psalm 65, verse 9, which says, you visit the earth and you water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. And I want you to see again how sovereign God is in terms of his control over the physical environment and universe. It is God who prepares the rain to water the earth and then brings it to pass at exactly the times that he wants it to rain. It's speaking of God's providing physical water here in these verses, but it also pictures for us the greatness of the provision of spiritual water that he provides through our Lord Jesus Christ for all those who are chosen of him. Now in John chapter 4, Jesus calls this the waters of life which spring up in your soul to eternal life. That's what he called it when he spoke with the woman at the well. If you would believe that the one who is speaking to you could give you living waters, you would ask him and he would give this to you, he says to her. And so he did. Just a few minutes later, he gave her the gift of eternal life, waters springing up in her soul to eternal and everlasting life. Or Psalm 46, verses 4 and 5, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. So we have to ask ourselves, why the drought then, if God can provide all this water? And so he can, both physical and spiritual. Well, it was for the sins of King Ahab, who was an idolater. It was for the sins of the people of Israel, who were also idolaters, and that they went along with him in it, for the most part. And there were going to be 2.5 more years of this judgment of drought upon the nation. And yet, God would provide for the physical and spiritual needs of his elect daughter in Sidon. He would do it through this means, that Elijah the prophet would be provided for through her. And God would provide for all of them. I want you to turn with me over to Luke chapter 4 and verses 24 to 30. These are very interesting verses because it gives us a comment here of what the Lord Jesus says about this very widow that we're reading about here in 1 Kings 17. In Luke 4 and verse 24, then Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you that no prophet is accepted in his own country, but I tell you truly that many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land." Watch this. "But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, except Naaman the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust the Lord Jesus out of their city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went on his way." Now, I want you to see how Jesus was instructing these people that he was preaching to about God's choice in the matter of salvation, in the matter of who would be ministered to by Elijah and Elisha. Now, Israel in that day was not walking in his ways in Jesus' time either. They deserved the same kind of judgment coming upon their land of withholding the rain. And they were deserving of the judgment of his withholding from them the great miracles which they desired him to do, because that's what they were saying to him. "You know, we've heard that you did this over in this city, in Capernaum. Now you come over here and do that same miracle in our city." And when Jesus gave them this reply, saying that it was only to this one widow that Elijah was sent, they got very angry with the Lord Jesus and were ready to kill him over it. What was their problem? Their problem is that they couldn't believe that God chooses people unto eternal life. That's their problem. They didn't want to believe in the doctrine of election. They didn't want to believe that God would choose unto salvation. Now, we need to understand that nobody is worthy of salvation. Not one of us is worthy of being given the gift of salvation. We are all sinful. We are all unworthy. But when you ask yourself then, why does God choose one and not another? You cannot answer that question, because God will not give you that reason. And yet God still chooses and sets his love upon some and passes by others. We are all guilty sinners. We all deserve the condemnation of hell. And yet the Lord has mercy on some to everlasting life. Listen to these verses in Romans chapter 8, 31 and 32. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? And he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He who did not spare his own son, that is the Father, but delivered him up for us all, not all mankind, but all his elect people, and I'll show that to you in a minute, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now let me say this to you. It's very important that you receive this truth. If God promises to freely give all things to all men, then all men would most certainly be saved. Do you see that? But we see here that God not only gives all things freely, but he must give them the gift of salvation if he gives it to all men, based upon the word all in that text, if it doesn't refer to God's particular chosen people, which it does. But many people misunderstand, and they think that one person is just as deserving as another of salvation. None of us is worthy. I've said that to you. But you and I need to understand that God has plans, and those plans are that he will have a people, and that people will be his eternal and everlasting possession. And what he does with them is really quite mysteriously good, even though perplexingly difficult at certain points. We need to, I'm saying, glory in God's electing love, that he would choose you and I unto salvation, that he would think about us at all, knowing what we were like before we came to Christ. Oh, listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these also he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. And those, I'm saying, are the persons to whom the Father has freely given all things. So we need to glory in this truth, and not to be ashamed of it, not to be afraid of it, but to see the greatness of the purposes of our God to provide for us in Christ. Secondly, we need to glory in God's providing for our greatest needs in relation to the exercise of our faith. And we need to pause here for a moment and see what it was that Elijah was asking this woman to do. He was asking her to obey his word to her as a prophet. He politely requests that she would share with him some of the little that she had. That's pretty bold, really, when she didn't have much of anything. But he did, and he was directed by the Spirit of the Lord to do that. She only had a handful of flour in the bin. She only had a little oil, it says. So she communicates her fear to Elijah that this would be her last meal. But he tells her not to be afraid, but go ahead and bake him a little cake first, then make some for herself and for her son. What I'm trying to bring to your attention is this is the way that it is for Christians sometimes in relation to giving. They may be afraid that if they give generously, if they give a regular tithe to the church, that they're not going to have enough money for themselves. But let's see what this woman did with the little that she had. We do know that she had saving faith because of what it says in verse 12, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. So she only has this small amount of food, and so she fears that in preparing this meal that it's going to be her last and that they're going to die after they eat their last meal. Legitimate fears. But we need to see that in this, God was testing her faith. Now, What was she being expected to believe? She was being expected to believe that God could make a table for her in the wilderness. You remember what the children of Israel murmured at? They said, "Can God make a table in the wilderness?" Of course, what did he cause them to do? He caused the manna to come, and it rained down upon them. And then when they complained, he rained quails down on them. It's incredible. God just keeps on providing, and he does so in quite extraordinary ways that go way beyond what we would naturally think that God should do. But that's what was happening here. So what God was asking this lady to do was to exercise faith and give Elijah some of her food. In this difficult situation where she didn't know her next meal would come from after this one. That's really it, isn't it? Where does the next meal come from after this one? Would she believe that God could provide for her? Would he provide for her? Would she believe that God would bless her with enough to live on, even if she would give Elijah some of the little she had left? Yes, by faith, she would do this very thing. And you and I need to think this way, beloved. We need to think this way, that God always provides for our needs. He provides for the rain. He provides for the sun. He provides for the crops that are grown. He provides for water and food for the beasts that are grown up and then are slaughtered, and we use them for meat, and we go to the store, and all these things are provided for us. Who gives us all these things? It's God who gives us all these things. It's God who provides all of these things. And he provides the means to the end of the supply. So we need to believe this. It was an obedience of faith to God's word, which he exercised through Elijah to her. She believed that if she would make a little cake for Elijah and then make her last meal, that the promise of the Lord would come true for her, and the bin of flour would not run out, and the oil wouldn't run out either. And so she obeyed it. It was the obedience of faith. And so we can apply this to ourselves as well. We have an obedience of faith that is expected of us. First of all, when we come to Christ, it's an obedience. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. It's the obedience of faith. But then it goes on from there. You go from faith to faith. And you begin believing, but then you continue believing in relation to all the providential circumstances that the Lord places you in, so that you will grow in respect to the strength of your faith, and that you will be able to help others and do deeds of kindness for others as well. Even when you can't see where the supply is coming from, you know it's got to come from God. If God doesn't bring it, it won't come. But that's the way that it was here. And she believed that, and the Lord was true to that promise all the way through the next 2.5 years. So we need to think about a couple of things, a couple of verses here which pertain to us who are New Testament Christians. Matthew 6, 31 to 33. "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek.' For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And Luke 6:38, here's another one. "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." So God would have each of us to learn how to show hospitality, how to give, how to help in the work of the Lord, how to help support the man who is speaking the word of God to you, even help missionaries as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Now, the way that we respond to that is we should realize that God is surely looking at our hearts. He's examining our minds to see whether we will sow bountifully or sparingly. And this woman, although she had but little, she sowed bountifully. And she was to come to understand that wonderful reality of reaping bountifully in the situation that she was in, because third, she came to know the glory of His provision, God's provision, never running out to her, even in the whole time of this drought. Now, you got to think about it for a moment. You have to think about it for a moment. Think about not having the ability to go to the store and find what you're looking for on the shelves for the next 2.5 years. Now, we've already endured a year of something like that, with toilet paper and other products that we go to the store and expect that they'll just be there, expect the shelves to be stocked up to the full, stocked up to the ceiling, and we think, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to get what I want. You go in there and you see this long, bare shelf, and you're troubled. You think, surely these people can supply the store better than that. Surely they've stored this up in warehouses for some years now. It ought to be stacked up to the ceiling in a warehouse somewhere. They just run and get it, and they bring it in here and they deliver it. What's wrong with those people? That's the way that I was thinking anyway with it. I still don't understand it. But at any rate, I needed to understand that it's God who supplies us with everything richly to enjoy. Everything richly. All things richly to enjoy. Well, you have to do what you can. Look at what Elijah tells her in verse 13. Do not fear, but go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. And then he gives her the promise of blessing and provision, which he heard from the Lord God. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. And verses 15 and 16 say, so she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and he and her household ate for many days. So the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke through Elijah. If she would receive the great blessings that the Lord would give to her, she must receive and obey the word of this prophet. And, beloved, this is the way that it is in our times as well. If we want to believe and receive all the blessings of God, then we also have to believe the commandments of His word. Not to have other gods before Him. To repent of our sins of idolatry where we find it in our country and in ourselves. That we'll remember His commandments to keep them. That we'll remember Him, to believe in Him, as I was saying this morning. To exercise faith in Him, that He is the one who provides all things for us richly to enjoy, but also provides for all of our needs spiritually in relation to everything that our salvation is made up of. There's a very wonderful principle which we find reiterated by the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. If you'll turn over there to Matthew chapter 10, I want to read you verses 40 to 42 of Matthew chapter 10. It says there, Jesus is saying here, he who receives you, he's speaking to those whom he's sending out, to be his witnesses. He says, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Now, I hope you can see here what this woman was doing in the text that I've brought to your attention here this afternoon. She was receiving this prophet. She was receiving him. And so she wouldn't lose her reward. Indeed, she would be given every blessing related to salvation because of it. So she would not only not hunger and thirst physically, but she would also be satisfied spiritually. All during this drought of the hearing of the word of God, she'd have a prophet living right there next to her, being able to encourage her with the word of the Lord. Now, that's really quite an extraordinary Mother's Day gift for her, is it not? But it should be an extraordinary Mother's Day gift for everyone here, too, to realize that if you receive the word of God, if you understand that you're trusting in the Lord for salvation, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive all of your sins and to deal with you graciously based upon what he would do for you and dying for you on the cross and living a righteous life on your behalf, then you can be joyful here today to understand how bountifully the Lord will provide for each one here who trusts in Jesus, even in times of great drought or difficulty, like our nation has begun to experience in the last year, times of judgment that are being brought upon this country. She was receiving the prophet, and in receiving Elijah and his word to her, she was actually receiving Christ. Do you see that? That's what she was doing. In a personal, formal sense, she was receiving God's messenger, his appointed messenger. And in so doing, she would be blessed in every conceivable way. She didn't exactly know how it would be that God would daily replenish this supply of hers, but he miraculously did it. She would go there to the bin, and there the flour would be. She would go there to the jar, and there the oil would be. How does God do these things? Well, it surely is a great mystery. It's miraculous. And I'm saying that God will do the same kinds of things in the midst of our trials. He will provide for our needs. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:10, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again." The Apostle had needs. "Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Did you ever realize that that verse is set in that context of his personal need? Well, it is. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless," he says, "you have done well in that you shared in my distress." And in verse 19, he says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank you for this passage, which shows the glory of your provision to this widow, woman, and mother of a child, and to Elijah. And we see from that it typifies all of your provision to all of your elect people, that you will never fail them nor forsake them, but always be cognizant of every one of their needs and how to minister to them in it. You will know what would be best for them. And so we pray that we ourselves would receive these truths and live according to them, whether we are abounding in blessings, outward material blessings, or whether we are abased and we feel pinch and we feel our need. We pray that you will come and help us to trust in you and know that you shall supply our every need as we continue to exercise faith in you, our good and gracious and loving Heavenly Father. We pray to seek your kingdom and your righteousness first. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's close by singing hymn number 585, Like Zion's Steadfast Mount Are They. Like Zion's steadfast mount are they, who in the Lord confide, secure, immovable they stand, forever to abide. As round about Jerusalem the mountains give defense, Jehovah is his people's God, their resting confidence. O thou Jehovah, to the good thy goodness now impart, thy loving kindness show to them that upright are in heart. Let's do these a cappella. All those that turn from righteousness with wayward wandering feet, with sinners God will lead them forth, the sinner's doom to meet. O thou who art thy people's shield, their helper and their guide, upon them let thy grace and peace forevermore abide. Amen. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. You are dismissed, and may the Lord go with you and bless you and be with you.